location where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.
The I-360. Vision or folly? Tuesday the 29th of July 2014. I'm down near the site of the West Pier on Brighton Seafront. It's just gone 2 o'clock and there's going to be a kind of weird ceremony to start work on the very controversial I-360 observation tower that I mentioned in one of these episodes a while ago. This giant tower's been built on Brighton Seafront with a loan from the taxpayer after private money backed out, and today they're going to officially break the ground for it, which probably involves cutting a ribbon or standing in front of cameras holding a spade or something like that. To my right here there's the West Pier, which is just a skeleton now, and they've recently pulled up a lot of the metal columns that were on the beach, which were an interesting landmark in their own right, and we're in the way of the new giant tower, which is going to be over 500 foot high and cost £36 million. So we'll hang around. I think at 2:30 there's going to be big speeches and whatever, and there's a band obviously to my left here, brass band, just tuning up.
We'll be right back.
The conductor has got two artificial arms. He's really good. And here's the mayor in a red sweltering, I think, glint of gold under his collar. And it looks like, I think it's Councillor Ian Davey. There's a red ribbon strung across, which I think is what they're going to cut or untie.
What a wonderful, beautiful day. Thank you very much for coming. We're here to celebrate a wonderful day and these marvellous arches and also the starting of I-360. I'd like to hand you over without further ado to Ian Davey, who leads for transport for the administration. I forgot to say, I'm Penny Thompson, Chief Executive of the Council. Delighted to be here today. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody. And for me, this is another example of how a transport project can have a real regenerative effect in what it's done for this area. And so thanks, everybody, for coming. And what we're seeing here now is the start of the redevelopment of the seafront, and I think the regeneration of this whole area. I was reminded that it was 2.5 years ago since Leon, one of our structural engineers, came to me and said, actually, I need to talk to you about the seafront. And he started telling me about the history of these arches, the fact that going further east, some of these arches were actually built nearly 200 years ago. The arches that these replaced were relatively new, 130 years old. And it was 20 years since that they were closed because they were starting to fail. And he explained to me something about the purpose of these arches. So they weren't just to kind of for storage and for businesses. They actually hold up the promenade, and much more importantly, they hold up the A259 seafront. And he explained to me, if we don't start to do something very soon, he can't guarantee that they will continue to do that. So 2 years ago, we started this £5 million regeneration project on both sides of the old West Pier site and the new I-360 site. And yeah, it's been fascinating watching this, first of all, taken down, taken apart, and then reconstructed to this kind of fine structure that we see behind us. I'll just pick out a couple of the highlights of it. Let me just get this right. So what we've got behind us is a bridge structure which will hold up 40 tons. It's like a motorway bridge structure. The brick facades are an exact reproduction of the original, and they even had imperial bridge bricks made and with lime mortar. And all the new joinery is all handmade, and it really is an absolutely beautiful piece of work. And it's this great attention to detail, which has been recognised nationally, and it's been shortlisted for many awards for both its architectural merit, but also kind of for the structural engineering perspective as well. So we see the result. We've got 13 new double arches. We've got some new toilets, which are always very welcome. And we've got the development of a new seafront cultural area, which is home already to new businesses, which I hope will absolutely thrive here. And I feel that this is just the start of the regeneration of this area. Obviously, we've got the I-360 coming shortly, and yeah, following on shortly behind these, we've got the arches on the eastern side. So just before I hand over to the mayor, I specifically wanted to say thanks very much to the transport team, and particularly to Leon, who's our structural engineer, who's probably lived and breathed this for many years, and to Thorne, the engineers who've worked on this for years, and you've done an absolutely fine job. So thanks very much to all of you, and I'll hand over to our mayor. Over to you, Brian.
The arches are great.
Thank you very much. It gives me great pleasure as Mayor of Brighton and Hove to be here today for the opening. I want to give thanks to the people that have made this happen, the Seafront Services, the Highways Department, and the people behind the scenes who've got the money together, both private and public. I want to thank all of those that have made this successful start at this end. It is an important venture. And it's great for the city, and it is this kind of development of restoring these arches, which are been carried out to such a high, fine standard. So make sure you take the opportunity to go in and to see the businesses here. Make sure that you have a chat and see what is available, because this is an exciting venture. As I turned around just then, I saw Geoffrey Theobalden. I can be reminded that in 1974, we started the other end doing arches, I believe. And we did three arches and the money ran out. I hope that this will be the start of a venture that will go right along this seafront, not only holding up the road, which is an important job, but actually providing sensible, dry accommodation for businesses to thrive in this city, because that's what we want to do. We want them to grow and grow and grow so that we have a standard of living here that will actually support good working pay and conditions. And that's important for everyone to thrive in this city. I wish the new tenants good luck with their businesses and declare the new West Pier arches open.
To cut the ribbon now, actually.
Now, this bit of the delay is that I usually am told not to cut the ribbon straight away in case the first photo doesn't work.
Yeah, I think this is more about the arches than the I-360 itself. A lot of cameras in it. This is the I-360 guy, David Marks, coming up to talk.
Thank you
in a blue shirt.
Very much, Mr. Mayor, councillors, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, friends, neighbours and colleagues. Well, aren't these arches magnificent? I mean, they've certainly set the standard for us. The architect and one of the architects for the I-360, I'm just going to make a brief speech. So 148 years ago, Eugenius Birch's West Pier opened as a simple promenade pier to grace Brighton Beach. For almost a century and a half, it was unrivaled as Britain's most fabulous and iconic pier. But tragically, it fell into disrepair, and then catastrophe hit in 2003. A calamity for those involved, but the foundation for its rebirth in the form of a vertical pier and a unique collaboration between the West Pier Trust, Brighton and Hove City Council, Coastal Capital, local enterprise partnership, and the team behind the London Eye. And so it's my honour and my privilege as chair of Brighton I-360 to welcome you to our site next door and to introduce what's going to happen next. Brighton I-360 will be the world's first vertical cable car here on Brighton and Hove's seafront. Using tried and tested cable car technology, it will carry visitors up to a height of about 1.5 times that of Sussex Heights behind us. You'll be able to look down on the peregrine falcons nesting on the top there, over the beautiful Regency Squares, across the South Downs National Park, along the south coast in either direction for 20 or 30 miles, and out to the Rampion Wind Farm at sea when it's built. All of Brighton and Hove will be at your feet. At ground level, our contractors will faithfully reconstruct two of the original Eugenius Birch 1866 toll booths, which will become our ticket offices. Visitors will board an 18-meter diameter aerodynamically shaped pod, which will gently, safely, and ever so slowly transport them to a great height to enjoy the beautiful view. In the evenings, that view will be accompanied by a welcome beverage in the sky bar. We've brought back together the team behind the London Eye to build and operate the I-360. We're lucky to have been joined by Sussex-based JT Mackley, who are on site today. Please would you give them a warm welcome. The I-360 will be coming from across the water, from France, from the Netherlands, from Italy or Spain, but the design is a joint effort led by British architects and engineers. The method of construction is innovative, to say the least, just as the West Pier was in its time. First, the contractors have to divert a rather large sewer that currently runs under the site. Then they dig a very big hole down to the underlying chalk and lay a massive reinforced concrete foundation that will hold up the tower. In less than a year, two barges will deliver the steel tower in sections directly onto the beach behind you. The top 60 meters of the tower will be erected on the foundation. A 50-meter high jacking frame will be built around the tower, and it will then proceed to lift the tower high enough to slot the next section of tower beneath it, before lowering it again and tightening up the bolts that hold it all together. The process will repeat until the tower is complete and the jacking frame can be disassembled. That's then followed by the installation of the pod and drive mechanism and completion of the reception building. That will be a cause for celebration for sure. The technical complexities and solutions that the team have developed are a real testament to their engineering and problem-solving skills. We'd like you to join us on the journey to build the Brighton i360. When the hoardings go up, we will be installing eye holes so that you can look through and see the tower taking shape. There'll be one at child height, so everyone can get involved. Thanks to our neighbours at Sussex Heights and the Hilton Metropole, time-lapse cameras and video cameras are being installed on their roofs to capture the progress as it's made. We'll be sharing these images on our websites and blog. And when the construction is complete, a piece of Brighton & Hove heritage will have been brought back to life. After it opens to the public in 2 years' time, we will continue working hard to attract more visitors to the city and this part of the seafront, encouraging visitors to stay longer and to come back with their friends and families. We believe, with our partners, that i360 will create not just a great addition to the seafront landscape for years to come, but also a thriving business that will benefit not only the seafront, but the whole city of Brighton & Hove. Brighton & Hove will be reinventing itself again, but showing it can do so and still care deeply for its heritage and history. We wish to express our thanks and gratitude to all members of the City Council that have supported the project over many years. Also the council officers and their advisors, members of the public, Brighton & Hove businesses, for their steadfast and unswerving support, guidance and perseverance in making the project a reality. We also thank the West Pier Trust and their members for their trust and partnership. And finally, I wish to thank our fantastic Chief Executive, Eleanor Harris, the amazing construction team, the brilliant architects, ingenious engineers, and wonderful advisors who've been working closely with Julie and I on a daily basis over the last 8 years to get us to this point. Thank you for bearing with me. I will now hand over to Jason, leader of Brighton & Hove City Council.
Thank you very much, David. Well, this is a momentous occasion for Brighton & Hove. This is the start of what I beginning of a regeneration story for this part of the seafront and for the whole city. I think the area which used to be a field called the West Lane, I think is going to flourish as a new West Lane with an I-360 and these rebuilt arches as part of it. And I think Preston Street and those surrounding areas that have long cried out for some support are going to benefit from it as well. Our seafront is just such a huge and important asset. We are so close to London, but we've got the added bonus of this amazing seafront vista, and we need to build on that. And I'm so pleased that we've been able to make that a reality. The innovation that we've done as a council and through the amazing partners that David has mentioned to bring a world first here is going to have a huge impact on Brighton and really put us on the map to a whole new level. It's going to attract visitors from around the world. It's going to bring those people who spend a week in London for a day trip down here when before they weren't doing it. We cannot underestimate how important it is as a signal that we have come together to express support in this project. And I think also it's important because we cannot rest on our laurels. Every other tourist destination in the world is constantly innovating, improving. We can't stand still. And so this is the beginning of our journey to renew ourselves for the visitor economy of tomorrow. I'd like to say thank you. There are so many people who've helped bring us to where we are today, and there's still more work to do, of course. But I'd like to thank everyone, all the council officers who worked incredibly hard, tirelessly getting this through to the final completion of the deal to where we are today in legal, in finance, in economic development, seafront office, and so on and so on. I'd like to thank the West Pier Trust, who've been tireless champions of this project. Where are you? Some of you are over there. I'd like to thank David and Julia Barfield, from Marks Barfield, because, you know, this has been an incredible project. Thank you for choosing Brighton as a place to start it. I'd like to thank the Coastal Capital Lab, who are here. Their contribution and support for this, both financially but in terms of support to government in what we're trying to do, has been really powerful and important. I'd like to thank the Brighton i360 company, who are just on the beginning of their journey of delivering an amazing visitor event. And everyone here, all the residents' associations, all the members of the council who've supported this. It's felt like a bold and risky thing to do, but sometimes you've just got to go forward and have confidence that this is the right thing to do. So we're now going to celebrate the start of this project by all moving round to the front of the site there, where David and I will be doing some light manual work. So I hope you'll come round and join us to celebrate the start of what I think is Brighton's next icon. Thank you very much.
Well, everyone are getting up from the deck chairs on the right of me there. I sit in our old friend Nigel Finesse standing over there, so we'll have a word with him in a minute. I'm just going to change the disc over in this very aged recorder. We're down opposite the West Pier now, and two cherry pickers on the seafront there have made an arch by putting the diggers up in the air and joining them together so you can look through and see the pier beyond it. On the other side of this bench just here, various characters with fluorescent jackets and red hats on, yellow. And the other side of this fence here, there's various characters with yellow fluorescent jackets and yellow hard hats on. We're going to pretend to do some work. So it then looks like they've actually started. So probably if I was very, very light, but I'm scraping gravel with a spade. And the arches over this side are all demolished, and you can see they put in sort of modern concrete bits and they're going to rebuild brick over it. I think we're looking at the back of what was there once before, so we're seeing the ancient brickwork in places, and other places have all been taken away. I've just bumped into Nigel here down by the West Pier. We can't quite see what's going on behind the scrum here, but do you think, it's a very sunny day today, a lot of optimism there in the speeches, but do you think we should share that optimism about the i360 without reservation?
I only wish we could, but sadly the answer to that is no. I think it's a huge risk that's been taken by a certain section of the council, notably the Greens and the Tories, with council taxpayers' money. And frankly, I think that the figures they've conjured up about the number of visitors we're going to get and the input to the local economy has just been plucked out of thin air. I really wish I could be positive, but sorry, I can't see it surviving. I can't see it even finishing.
There's a lot of cheering here, so they obviously don't share that view, but I tend to agree with you, really.
You do?
I think the structure maybe isn't... I don't think it's aesthetically ugly. Maybe it'll stand out ridiculously, but it's really the thing about having to borrow the money when the private company backed out. We've now got to borrow it, and they say it's not public money, but it is public money, and we'll have to pay it back if to the government if the thing doesn't make enough cash. And the visitors have all got to come down here and queue up, and... You know, you can see how crammed we are all here in this small area. We were just pushed aside even then, you know. So what's it going to be like when it's busy and they've got to get cars and coaches down here and all that stuff?
Well, I'm glad you raised that point, because that's another of the dynamics. Nobody seems to have done a proper or even a semblance of a traffic impact assessment. I mean, we have utter chaos up on the seafront above us on King's Road as we stand here. The other point I'd like to make, I mean, there appear to be no means of taxi drop-off points or whatever, so I don't know if tourists are supposed to bring all their bags and baggage on bikes. And the other point I'd like to make is the fact that the, getting back to the money side of things, if we could borrow a total of £38 million that's been borrowed, you know, on behalf of the ratepayers, if we're capable of borrowing that to put this up, why on earth couldn't we be capable of borrowing that to at least go a third of the way towards repairing the dilapidations of this seafront, which have been the responsibility of Labour, Tory and Green councils?
Well, all along my way, there's embarrassing fences all along, closing off various gaps in the railings, you know, and signs saying you don't lean on this, don't come down here, and Anyone who's seen the remake of Brighton Rock will see the, you know, the beautiful terraces that we've got along the seafront, which are all, much of it's closed off at the moment to the visitors, you know. So I agree with you, yeah. Which seems to be winding down very quickly. Well, as you see, there's a lot of work been done there. It's sort of sprouting up already. I think they just shoved a bit of gravel around or something. I didn't quite see what they were doing.
Well, I'm not sure. Probably the usual thing of a silver trowel and a glass of bubbly and a good old jolly once again at the expense of the long-suffering council taxpayers. Well, sorry to sound so negative, but I have lots of other ideas, which that's for another date. But I think our seafront can be regenerated without this. And frankly, I mean, yes, I might agree with you, it's not totally a monstrosity, but frankly, if it was something more like Portsmouth's Spinnaker Tower, now that is a beautiful building. And the other point I'd like to raise too, along the coast at Weymouth, they've got something similar, a smaller scale of this, and they built it for under £8 million. And I'm told there are a number of other, very similar, straight off the shelf, basic architecture. How come this one is so costly? And another point, if I'm not going on at length too much, Preston Street, this is meant to be doing something for the Preston Street traders. Well, if you look around to your left and to your right, all this vast area is going to be cafes, shops, a nightclub, etc., etc. I fail to see what that's going to do for Preston Street.
Good point. They've got a lot of restaurants down there, haven't they, already? So
empty ones.
Should already be an attraction in itself, yeah. Well, they're lining up there for some photographs with visitor written on the back of their jackets. So when the real work gets going, we'll be able to watch it, according to them. We'll be interested to see how the progress does go and if it keeps the schedule, which it may not, of course. Because they always say these things are going to get done on a certain day. Look at Battersea Power Station in 1988 when Margaret Thatcher said it was going to open or restored, and we're still waiting, aren't we? So, okay, Nigel, it's great. Thanks very much.
Panic, got it?
Yeah.
Thanks, Peter.
Well, this is perfect timing. We've now been shoved out of the way by somebody, so they obviously know the information's making an episode and give us the bums rush as usual. In a strange sequel to the events of Tuesday, July 29, the very next day, on Wednesday, the 30th of July, 2014, a fire on Eastbourne Pier destroyed its middle pavilion. Luckily, everyone was evacuated okay, and there were no deaths or injuries. However, you do wonder how easy it will be to evacuate the I-360 should such a terrible thing happen there once it's up and running.
Where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.